Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, December 31st, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 79 today. Going to finish out that page on the third paragraph, which begins with, "We thought he ought to be willing," and then ends with, "Since been adjusted." I'm going to unpack that one paragraph today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Malky G, the 12 Traditions, Clara G, reading the text today, Sandy D, Kara L, and Lisa J.R. Then further on in a bit, hang around, we're going to get Wendy to read newcomers and get sponsor contact information, and Leslie's going to give some announcements, so stick around, clear to the top of the hour. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 13,895, and that would be for Monday, December 30th for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And we had one already this morning. You might want to catch that. And that share ID number is 13901, 13,901, December 31st, 2019, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Malky G to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, good morning. I'm Malky G from New Jersey. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Hi, thank you so much. Appreciate that, Malky. I will now ask Clara G to please read the 12 traditions. Hey, Clara.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you. I'm Clara G., compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group will never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such could never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Clara G. Appreciate that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And this would be talking about the star 1 key function on your phone as your means of muting, please, only. Today we resume the study of the Big Book in the paragraph. Let me say this differently. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter into action. We're on page 79. We're going to unpack paragraph 3 today, which begins with, we thought we ought to be, and ends with, since been adjusted. And I'd like to open this up by having Sandy read that paragraph, please, and then share her experience on it. Hey, Sandy.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Sandy D. in Central Illinois. So happy to claim my seat here today. We thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary. But if he were in jail, he could provide nothing for either family. We suggested he write his first wife admitting his faults and asking forgiveness. He did, and also sent a small amount of money. He told her what he would try to do in the future. He said he was perfectly willing to go to jail if she insisted. Of course she did not, and the whole situation has long since been adjusted. Wow. This paragraph speaks to me probably in a way that, I don't know, it kind of overwhelmed me when I first read it this morning. You see, I came into OA just in August of 2017 and did my amends. I think in October, and the one amends that I did not want to make was to my second husband, and we had divorced in October of 2017. So it was really a difficult amends to make, but I did what my sponsor suggested. I set up the appointment. I even emailed him and let him know that it had nothing to do with anything that he had done. And I was a big scorekeeper in the past, keeping track of everyone else's wrongs and not my own. So this was a definitely through the gift of this desperation, a situation that I was placed in so that I could actually have a spiritual awakening from this one amends. It was unbelievable. But what I had done was I had a car that while we were separated, I had given it prior to separation to my son and never charged him anything for it. And so when I got the car back while we were separated, I never told my ex-husband that I had sold it to a friend of mine for $3,000. I was just planning on keeping that money because, of course, don't you know, he had so much more money than I had. And also with my first divorce, my first husband had stiffed me for $12,000 in alimony. So I thought, man, I'm justified with this. But, you know, God kept working on me. He kept working on me. And that $3,000 kept coming back to me. So when my second husband agreed to do the amends, we met in a McDonald's. I had my written script, and I had a check for him. And that was possibly one of the hardest things that I ever did, to write that check to him because of some of the things that had happened between us. But with that check came a freedom that I'd never known, a freedom that I still have today, a freedom from being a prisoner to the food, a freedom from being a prisoner to my shame, a freedom from being a prisoner to being a martyr. It was just unbelievable. And with that, I would encourage everyone to search those people out that we owe amends to and have harmed and do the work. It's well worth it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sandy D. Now the lines are going to be open for additional shares and comments on that paragraph. Paragraph 3, page 79 in your big book. If you would give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, I'd love to take down about six of you at the start here.
Eileen.
Lisa J.R.
Eileen. And then
Wendy
Lisa
B.
J.R. Wendy B.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Courtney M.
Okay, G. Courtney M. And then what was somebody B?
Malky G.
Malky G. Okay. That's my lineup. Thanks so much. Let's see what I have. I have Eileen M., Lisa J.R., Wendy B., Roz G., Courtney M., and Malky G. Hey, Eileen.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. You betcha.
Thank you. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And I really like this line where it says, he told her what he would try to do in the future, because I think that's really important in the amends process. You know, because as we know, or as we've heard, you know, that just apologizing for the event is not sufficient. And I mean, that's really like the easy way out. If you just go to somebody and you say, I'm sorry, because, you know, the amends is changing the behavior. So that's what, you know, my sponsor told me, like when I was making my amends, she said, you know, tell the person that you're working on addressing and changing the behavior. And also, you know, to ask them if there's anything else, you know, that they'd like to add to what you said. And, you know, tell them what you're going to do in the future. You know, and I had a little incident. It happened on Christmas. And what it was is I got a birthday gift from my niece, and that doesn't happen very often, but she gave me this birthday gift. My birthday was in November, and, you know, I kind of was making excuses and procrastinating about thanking her. I said, well, you know, I'll send her a card, and I just wasn't getting around to it. So on Christmas Day, I called her, and I said, hey, thank you for the birthday gift. I really love it. And she said, oh, Eileen, that was two holidays ago. And I didn't know what she meant. I'm thinking, what do you mean it was two holidays ago? And when I hung up, you know, I was thinking about it. And really what she was telling me was, hey, I expected you to thank me, you know, more promptly. And I just kind of like, you know, I talked about it with my sponsor, and I wrote her a note. And I said, you know, hey, thanks for reminding me that, you know, it would have been better if I had thanked you more promptly. And, you know, I told her I would, you know, I will change this behavior in the future. And that just, you know, is a lot better than saying, hey, I'm sorry that I did this, because, you know, I don't know. I used to get into that behavior of saying, I'm sorry. And the more you say you're sorry, it's like you're asking the person to let you off the hook kind of thing. And it just doesn't feel like it's very clean. So, you know, I love this step, because after this step, it says that we can look people in the eye. And I really feel that I can do that. You know, I can look the world in the eye. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much. Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. Okay, so next up is Lisa J.R., and then Wendy B. will come after you, Lisa.
Good morning, Melanie and everybody. Lisa J.R. here from Baltimore. Thank you all for your service. Wow, Happy New Year, everyone. What a great paragraph. And via the School of Hard Knocks, I learned this to be so true, because I went about the amends process without consulting my sponsor, and man, I had a couple of really sketchy incidents. However, once I did consult my sponsor and I did go about making amends properly, you know, I totally glossed over this paragraph. We thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary. So we, a sponsor and the fellowship, is going to guide me in, you know, show me the parts that aren't too smart about how I'm proceeding, you know, how to avoid the landmines. So once I got through this process and I began to make amends, lo and behold, I got puffed up again. I started to get puffed up about how honorable I was. No, you know, I had to keep looking and taking that inventory. You know, I'm doing the right thing. My behavior was dishonorable before, and I am making, you know, the effort to have seeds of being honorable going forward. I don't want to walk around the edges in the shadows anymore, not able to look the world in the eye. You know, that's what this process is all about. It's letting go of the shame, the remorse of having done ill to people. And, you know, it must be done. It's necessary if we are to be free indeed. So with that, I gladly pass. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Wendy B., your 3 minutes are now, and Roz D. will come after you.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And it says, you know, if he were to in jail, you know, he couldn't provide for either family. And then in the previous paragraph, it said other people were involved. So 10 years ago or more, I can't remember exactly, my husband and I bought into a timeshare that we used regularly for many years. And our finances started falling apart after that. And we moved out of the area and we stopped paying on it. And we went into default. So now in wanting to repair the damage, you know, and make good on the debt, we owed many thousands of dollars, you know, of accumulated late fees, you know, and we don't have the money saved to pay it. So my husband's very reluctant to dealing with it. You know, he isn't in program. And every time I approach him about it, you know, he says, don't push it, you know, let me handle it. You know, I'll make some calls, and he never follows through on it. And so I need to respect his rights too, you know, waiting until he's ready. You know, his name is on the papers too. And so when others are involved, you know, we need to really pray for discernment and talk to others to get input before we rush headlong into, you know, cleaning up our conscience, and, you know, because we want to feel better, you know, and repairing the damage can be a really slow process, you know, and I get to endure the discomfort in the delays, you know, and I get to be patient and wait for God's timing and wait till my husband's ready and just keep praying, you know, and keep being willing. That's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Roz G., your turn, and then Courtney will come in after you.
Good morning. This is Roz G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I'm coming from this share from the point of view of a single mom. Mine was an alcoholic marriage, and my husband owed a lot. But for me, is that I was a single parent, and I went back to school, and I got into a school loan debt. And I got in a lot of debt, and I was guilty and made, you know, payments, overpayments, and making those payments left me broke at the end of the month. And so I was buying macaroni and cheese and Top Ramen, you know, to feed my family. And it wasn't healthy for them. And it was feeding my disease of eating junk. And so I was harming myself through overpaying and not taking care of myself and really not taking care of my children through, you know, terrible nutrition and being broke and not being able to take them places and buy food for them and all the things I needed to do, you know. So through 12-step recovery and other programs that deal with money, I learned how to negotiate and come clean with people and say, you know, I'm unable to make this payment. Can I get on a payment plan? And so I got on payment plans, and I put myself and my family first. And I began to buy, you know, look at my groceries and buy nutritious foods. And, you know, my abstinence has come a long way with, you know, being in relapse and stuff. But the point of the matter is that I got guidance through people who were unemotionally involved with me. A little noise in the background. I'm outdoors. Who, you know, unemotionally involved, showed me how to get on a payment plan, showed me how to research for loan forgiveness, and I got it. And that's all I wanted to say. And thank you. Happy New Year. I pass.
Thank you, Roz. Courtney M., you're up for 3 minutes. Malky G. will come after. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, good morning. Courtney M., recovering in Southwest Florida. Claiming my seat today. So we ought to be willing to do that if necessary. So, you know, a lot of people have already kind of touched on this point with payment plans and things like that. I know that my relationship with money is very much like my relationship with food. And I have looked past my family's needs and my own needs, my real needs, to overspend on things. You know, I remember at one point with my ex-husband, him saying something like, oh, it's just, it's not real money, it's just plastic. And of course, I was willing to buy into that idea because it meant that I could overspend and spend on stuff that was the pleasures that were temporary and fleeting. So, you know, I have a lot of debt that I need to clear, and this is going to be part of my process as I recover. My overeating, it works the same way on my body. It's like a debt on my body. You know, I have weight that needs to come off because I have gone above and beyond what I needed to. And in the meantime, you know, ignored maybe the nutritional needs of my kids and my family by giving them the same junk that I wanted to eat. So I think that this idea of coming into payment plans and spending that small amount of money or making that effort, that small amount of effort to start, you know, having better nutrition. Oh, my 4-year-old decided to come in. And so I'm just going to go ahead and pass now because he's going to try to chime in. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Courtney. Malky G., your 3 minutes. And then after Malky, we're going to open it up for additional comments on paragraph 3, page 79 in your big book. So if you want to get ready, 3 minutes and you'll be up. Hi, Malky.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning. Malky G. from New Jersey. I'm actually right now, I'm in the
I recall a blessing of starting all my ninth step amends after doing a very rigorous fourth step and getting an awareness that I've never had before. So a financial amend that I'm really beginning with is really a financial amend in my heart and in my head. I had such an unhealthy relationship with money. I blocked myself off from people because of my insecurities and the way I viewed myself and my lies and core belief about if I don't have enough and I don't have the same bank account, I don't matter to them, I'm less than. And I thought they harmed me, but I really cut people off. And the people I'm really making amends to is my very own siblings, who I always felt I was less than. I came from a comfortable home. I wasn't living on the standards they were, and especially the past few years when I'm not presently bringing in an income, my lies and core beliefs got stronger and stronger, and I was alienating inside me more and more from my own siblings. And the miracle I just experienced this morning is just so exhilarating. I am learning in these rooms to show up to life. I had every lie to say why I'm different and can't show up. My son's school is in the middle of doing a massive $2 million fundraiser for a new building. My first reaction is I stay on the sidelines, either on the top or on the bottom. I'm not getting involved. And then I said, I don't have money. I don't have a lot to give, but I'm going to be like every other family and get my few thousand dollars and just try to send out letters and emails and try to fundraise. The miracle it has done for me and my child, just to show I'm an active participant, was just wonderful that I was able to show up and I was able to ask people. But 2 weeks ago, I decided, you know what, I'm going to send an email to my own family and ask them to join my Raise It page for this fundraiser. And it was very scary for me. And I was fighting in my head to do it. And I said, you know, I show up to all their things, even if whatever I can give, even $50, and they give $10,000, but I show up the way I could, and it's okay, I matter. I'm part of this family, and I did. I sent the email. No one responded. No one gave me. The anger in my head and that belief I was saying is, see, I don't matter. They don't care. And there's 24 hours. It's ending January 1st, and last night I decided, you know what? I'm going to show up again and resend the email and make, right, 24 hours, please help. I woke up this morning. Six of my siblings showed up to my fundraiser page and my dad, and they gave up substantial amount of money. I had to show up, and this financial amend healed me. Now, it doesn't matter. It healed me because now I belong in my family, whether I have or don't have. I was blocking myself. My siblings were not blocking me. I was blocking my own self, and the miracle and the help of these programs that I'm making amends, the financial amends, and showing up is so miraculous. And I want to just thank you so much for everyone who's helped me on these lines, and thanks for listening. I pass.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Malky. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 3, page 79 in your big book. First name, first initial, be last name, please.
Well, Bruce in North Carolina.
I got Barbara and Bruce.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Julie M.
Julie M. Julie E.B. Julie E.B. Let's try the five. Barbara E., Bruce E., Deborah G., Julie M., and Julie E.B. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, and happy, joyous new year as we all jump into a new decade in our lives. Well, just going back a few pages, we've made a list of all persons we've harmed and to whom we were willing to make amends. A drastic inventory. Because our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. However, I needed personally to consult with my husband because I did need to make some financial reparations to people, and I didn't want to do it without consulting him and getting his collaboration on it and his approval. It was not huge amounts of money. I had not run up huge debts. I'm not a spender, but I did steal from stores. I did steal from my children. I did steal from my husband. And I certainly stole a lot of the joy out of my children's growing up experience. They saw a mother who vacillated from morbid obesity to a size 2, and they never knew which raging maniac they were going to come home to. So after speaking to my husband, I decided with his help that I would make a monthly donation to various places that fit the crime, so to speak, to the stores, to a food bank, to the supermarkets, a food bank, to the people whose parking spaces I took illegally using my husband's handicap card. I went to volunteer at a senior citizen home where the money that I took by stealing reams of paper and leaving school early and coming in late and being a lazy employee, I make a yearly donation to the scholarship fund for graduating seniors. But I did this all with the consultation of my husband, because that was very, very important. And I knew that I had to go to any length to get that spiritual experience, because I had gained and lost hundreds of pounds over and over again. Something was missing in me, something in my inner soul. So I had to go to OA to find the answer. And I did. My Ebby brought me there. She didn't stay around for the miracle. I did. Thank you so much. Happy New Year to all.
Thank you, Barbara E. Bruce E., your 3 minutes. Deborah G. will follow.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, everybody on the line. This is Bruce E., and I'm in Florida. Well, let's see. We suggested he write his first wife admitting his faults and asking forgiveness. Now, it doesn't look like he's asking forgiveness from the debt. He's not saying, hey, how about letting me off the hook on this money that I owe? I might go to jail on this thing. I want to keep from going to jail. No, he's asking forgiveness for being lax and not coming through on his commitments to pay her money for alimony. And it goes on to say, he said he was perfectly willing to go to jail if she insisted. So it sounds like he's willing to go to any length. That's what it sounds like. So am I willing to go to any length? And there's been a lot of conversation in this meeting about financial. And my wife and I are getting along pretty good. Seem like I'm writing a lot of 10 steps, but we're getting along good. And the financial is one area that seems to be a sticking point with us quite often. And so now we're getting towards the end of the year. Her brokerage account that I manage for her, she pays all the bills and takes care of that part of it, which is great. I appreciate that. But I manage the other end of it. And so her account generates a lot of taxes, tax liability. And I need to write a check every year from her account to pay the taxes on her account. And it's always a sticking point. So I sort of sneak and do it. You know, I figure out a way to manipulate the money out of her account and get the taxes paid and without her knowing it. And she always finds out, and then she comes back and asks me all about it and everything. And then I'm in more trouble than that. And so this year I just asked her for a checkbook so I could write a check out of her account, not telling her what I was doing. And I finagled the checkbook, and then I was going to write the check, and I wrote the check, and I felt so guilty and so upset about that. And I was just disconnected from my higher power and from her, and just lost my serenity and peace. And didn't go back into the food, but eventually I do. That's what caused me to go back into the food. So I finally just went to her and I said, hey, it's time to write this check. I prayed first. And I went to her and said, it's time for me to, I've written this check, or I'm writing this check out of your account. And it's to pay the taxes. And of course, she, what are you doing that? What are you? She forgets every year, you know, and I told her, and things just went really good. And God is good. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce E. Deborah G., your turn for three, and then Julie M.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you, Melanie, and everyone that has made this meeting possible this morning. And I love that was just shared about willing to go to any length. And that's been my experience in the past, either paying back directly, or if the place was out of business, I'd talk with my sponsor and we would work out a way to pay whatever back, you know, keeping that line of financial amends open to continue to keep that flow going so I could be freer and freer. It's not something that's going to lead me back to at ease and comfort. You know, that sometimes I don't even know that it's there until I continue to keep going through the steps and do 8 and 9, and things crop up when they need to. And that's when I need to have that willingness to make those wrongs right so I can be free. And I'm really grateful for this program and all of you. And happy new year, a new, it's going to be an awesome new decade. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. Julie M., it's your turn for three, and then Julie E.B.
Hi, this is Julie M., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, this first line, we thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary. And that's where, for me, the word willing is so important. One of the hardest amends I ever made was to my ex-husband, who I was in a very toxic relationship with for 12 years, and towards the end of it, well, after it was over, I actually punched him in the face. He called me. He called the police. I was arrested on domestic violence charges, and I'm a person who's never hit anyone before or since, and it was a moment in time that I can't even explain. And it was transformational, everything that came from it. But, you know, a year or so after the event, maybe a couple years after, I wrote him an amends letter. And I rewrote it and I rewrote it and I rewrote it. And I sent it via mail because he was in Pennsylvania, we really don't communicate. Especially then, we did not communicate. And I waited and I waited and I waited, and he never responded in any way. And I wondered, well, maybe it got lost in the mail. So I waited a couple months, and I sent it again. So the bottom line is, it's not about him responding or not. It's about the freedom that I got in sending it. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie M. Julie E.B., your 3 minutes. And then after you, we might have time for 1 to 2 more shares, so you might want to get ready. Hi, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., moving to a quieter spot here. Gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. I mean, all these paragraphs are so powerful for me. Just to put in perspective for those who are still struggling or just starting, you know, 2 years ago at this time, I had a legal sheet full of amends. And last year at this time, I had a handful of financial amends still to make. And today, I don't have any. And God has made this possible. And when my kids come home, God is everything or nothing. And that's really what I get out of this. God can take some of these things and make them happen. And some of them happen over time. And when it says in here that
to be willing to do it if necessary. I had to look at my job and where I'd been stealing soup with my resentment and food, sneaking food, you know, as what turned out to be my bottom in my disease. I gave that, I was willing to go to my boss, who was not a trustworthy person at that time, but I was willing to do it, but I did not want to adversely affect my family and gave to the foundation. But I had other things where, with a spouse, I wrote admitting my financial faults, one of which was managing all the money with no discussion, and I made a living amends, asked for forgiveness, and made a living amends to discuss it with him and to have more conversation with him, and he just drove by me in the parking lot. So there you go. And I told him what I would try to do in the future, which is include him, which took a lot of work, a lot of 10 steps, a lot of work on growing my God to be sufficient for me and learning about my character defects and not getting emotional in these kinds of financial discussions. And the whole situation has adjusted. And we just dealt with a broken furnace at Christmas time, right after Christmas, with low funds because all my kids are home eating me out of house and home. And we just dealt it together. He did a part, I did a part, and we did it together. So there is hope. But for today, I'm going to stay out of the food. I'm going to celebrate New Year's Eve. I'm still going to be done eating at my normal time. And I'm going to focus on what I bring to the occasion, which is my attention and listening to those around me. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. The lines are open for two additional people to comment on paragraph 3, page 79 of the Big Book. I'll take your name and the first initial of your last name. It's a quick press of the star one key function, and you'll be able to be heard.
Hi, this is Sandra from New York. I'll share.
Okay, Sandra. Anybody else? I can take one more.
Matthew F.
Matthew F. I'm sorry. I missed you, Carter. Next time, maybe. And so hang around if there's another minute or two. But for now, I have Sandra and Matt. Okay, Sandra, you're three.
Well, thanks. Hi, I'm Sandra. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive eater. Thank you for this meeting. You know, I've been listening to this meeting for 7 years, and most recently this year, been participating in the last month as much as I can because my lifestyle is changing a bit. And just really grateful for the reminders of willingness and that it's not about me and it's all about service. You know, in the 12th step, I am reminded that, you know, having had a result of working these steps, you know, I carry this message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. And practicing these principles in all my affairs as well from the traditions. And so it's like, you know, the amends part was really incredible for me to see that it really has nothing to do with me. I'm there of service to others in knowing how higher power can change my life, how I can completely become a new person, how it's possible for me to change behaviors, and that all the blame that I had put on other people and the power that they had over me was suddenly released. And I loved hearing the last share about willingness. You know, for me, from the beginning, you know, the key is willingness. And I'm not always willing, and willing doesn't always look like wanting to. You know, as I said, my life is changing a bit, and I'm getting older, and my food is changing, and I don't want to, and health things come up, and I don't want to. And I just constantly need to be reminded of that prayer, you know, please, God, help me to stay willing. Please guide my thoughts and actions as you'd have me be. And that third step prayer of like surrendering and releasing the bondage of self. And, you know, it's challenging. It's challenging. Today I'm challenged big time. And I had something come up over the holidays with my mother, and I was not really willing to make the amends. You know, I promptly admit when I'm wrong these days, and I didn't, like, it just came up where I was like, I didn't want to. I didn't want to at all. And I had to really pray and sit with that higher power space, which I choose to call God space, and, you know, really sit and be ready to make that amends when I'm ready. Or actually not even when I'm ready, when God is ready, when God speaks to me. And I'm just really grateful for the message of service, and that it is possible, and that I can turn things over in a way where I can really release the power and that bondage of self today. And I'm just really, really grateful, and Happy New Year to everyone. And yeah, just really grateful. Thank you for the share and this meeting and your service.
Thank you, Sandra W. Matt F., it's your 3 minutes now.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Matthew F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from northern New Mexico. Before I got into the program, I was a thief. I would steal food from the grocery store. I would eat food while I was grocery shopping and not paying for it. But also steal things, basically a shoplifter from other stores. So living a very dishonest life, a lot of it around food. And my sick mind, I thought that, well, if I stole it, nobody would know about it. And if nobody knew about it, then it didn't count. Then, of course, I would binge eat on the food, throw up, cry, hate myself. And then in order to make myself feel better about binge eating, I would eat. So I was pretty sick. But because of the program and my sponsors and following the steps, I've recovered. But for a long time, with some of the financial amends, when I was stealing, I took the easy way out. I decided to make donations and do some volunteer work, but then I relapsed. I still felt horrible about what I did, and I took the easy way out and said, well, you know, they'll get in trouble, they'll hate me, et cetera, et cetera. So I didn't make direct amends. But I relapsed, and so finally, with the help of my sponsor and bringing God into it and having the willingness, you know, I made direct amends, and every one of them, while I was talking to them, they lit up, their face lit up, they thanked me, they honored me, they said, I honor you, I respect you for what you're doing, thank you so much. And I just felt the presence of God, and now I can go around in the community feeling completely liberated and in full confidence that I have no temptation to steal anything from anyone ever again. I still have money issues. I still have my character defects and moving forward, but one day at a time with everyone's help here, I am recovered. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Matthew. That's Matthew F. It's time for one two-minute share. Who would like to take that?
Hi, this is Carrie, recovering in San Francisco.
Hey, I heard you, Carrie, but you know what? I actually heard Carter before. I'm going to segue to that one. Thank you so much for that consideration, too. I completely blanked out. Hey, Carter, it's your two.
Okay, thank you. My name's Carter B., and I'm from Seattle. And I was in the OA program about 20 years ago. And that's when the gray sheets were out, and I jumped into that program, and it worked for me. So I know that works. Plus, I'm in other 12-step programs. And I know working the steps through the big book and people that are adhere to the big book have a tendency to be very healthy, spiritual, prosperous people. So that's why I'm here online, because my food is a big problem right now. As of February of this year, I took service position at an OA meeting that I go to every Saturday, and I've been doing that just about a year now. I've attended a couple of retreats. I found out about a vision from you, from a facilitator that came here to Washington from the East Coast that I'd never heard of a vision for you. And it's like, okay, God's working in my life, because I can see where it's time for me to make that next step. and go with that process. I consider myself a very intelligent person because I have several degrees. I've worked, well, I don't want to get into all that, but I have a problem with outside issues because anytime I get involved in anything, even if it's a telecon, I'm suspicious of the computer. All right, I'm done. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Carter. And that ends up the sharing part of this particular meeting today. Thank you to everyone that shared. Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you for Team Tuesday and working so hard on making sure this meeting was here every single Tuesday as a team together. Grateful for that. Hopefully we'll see you in the next year and the next month. So if I could have you stick around for just a few more minutes with things that we're going to do here. We're going to say, we're going to close. That's page 164. Kara L. will do that with us. And then we're going to say the Serenity Prayer. And then we're going to move over into greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact info. Kara L., would you please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Happy to. Hi, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Of your past, give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.